By the way, for those of you who don't know, this Steinway is 112 years old. I guarantee you I won't sound that good in 10 years from now. So I want to welcome you all. You're probably looking at me going, I don't look like Gary. He has more hair. He is on vacation this week. He is either coming out of South Dakota right now or he's already in Kansas. He has the fun task of visiting with his son and grandkids. Then he's loading them in his Prius and bringing them here. So, and he can't leave to come back until Saturday. So next Sunday, he's going to be dragging. And hopefully he's here. So, anyway, well, I want to welcome you here on this nice warm Sunday morning. Aren't we glad we put air conditioning new unit in? This morning, I want to remind you, we are doing canned vegetables for Valley View. Our first week, we got like 56 or something, but I noticed there is a huge pile out there. So remember, if you can, let's help the people who are challenged with food in our West Valley. Given the circumstances of our current season, if you feel more comfortable putting a mask on, feel free to do so. It's flu season coming up. I know we've got several people that have colds. Let's don't share. So, you know, if you want to wear a mask, please feel free to do that. Service group meets on the fourth Monday at 10:30 to noon. And we're now doing salad again. Okay, preacher gave me wrong information. 9 o'clock on the last Monday, and bring a salad to share. Next Sunday is the special congregational meeting, and that'll be right at the end of the service, and we won't keep you a long time, so you will still have access to donuts and coffee and all. Social team needs volunteers for the month of August. Please feel free, if you can, to sign up. The sheet's in the narthex. And I do know that there are coffee, tea, and donuts, and maybe muffins, out there after service for the fellowship hour. Okay, some other announcements. Keep in your prayers this week Larry Wilbur and Bill Griffin, as they're both going through medical treatments. Also remember the others in our church who are also going through medical treatments or are not here, they've got colds or whatever. I know Jim McNeil's coughing and has a cold. No, he doesn't have COVID, he just has a cold. And he said he didn't want to come in here and cough. So, but I'm counting him as here. We also need to keep in prayer those traveling, which are a lot of our folks, and we pray for their safe journey, including the pastor. If you would, let's take just a moment for silent prayer, and then we'll do the pastoral prayer. Father, we ask that you put your blessings and healing hands on Larry and Bill and the others in the congregation that are facing challenges in their life. We also pray for our country and its leadership. We thank you for your teachings and the sacrifices of your son. And we also thank you for the freedom to worship here in our church and in our nation. We also ask for your protection for those traveling and to bring them back safely. As we pray the prayer that your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We have two videos this morning. One I'm sure you all will know, A Closer Walk. And the second one is a request from our guest minister, Got Any Rivers? Bill?
Emily. God specializes in things thought impossible. He can do just what no other can do. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He can do just what no other can do. Oh God, God, any mountains you can't tunnel through. God specializes in things thought impossible. He can do just what no other can do. He can just what no other can do.
It gives me great pleasure to introduce a gentleman that I've worked with, I don't know, a lot of years here.
A lot of years.
With Jesse Ramirez. He is president and founder of Valley View Food Bank. His sermon today is Anything is Possible Through Jesus. Jesse?
Good morning, everyone. What a beautiful morning to gather and come to the house of God. It's so wonderful that I thank you for the invitation, because it means a lot to me to come to church. I work a strenuous job trying to gather up food for our communities, and coming to church makes it really nice. So thank you. You know, the title to this, you can see that, and then even with the song, that, you know, anything is possible with our Lord Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure you know, every one of us have gone through something where we're backed against the wall. When we're backed against the wall, we come to a place where we say, Lord, what am I going to do? Even when I look to my right and to my left or in front of me, there is no answer. You know, this scripture, you know, and the book. In fact, this miracle took place where we've all been there and we've been against the wall. But this miracle is so important. The message has been written in all four Gospels, you know. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John have recorded this because there's a special message in this story. And if and everybody knows about the 5,000 that the Lord has fed. But in different scriptures, like in Matthew, I think it says where there is 5,000 people that, or men, 5,000 men, plus women and children that have come to hear the word of God, or to look upon what Jesus is going to do, because they've heard all kinds of miraculous things that happen, like people getting healed and people being able to walk again. And throughout that day, Jesus and the disciples were actually ministering and healing people. And so the word went out throughout the town, and as far as way as it could go, that there is a healer, or there is a teacher that has come, and he's healing people. So what does that do? That attracts more people. But by the end of the day, Jesus was tired, and so were the disciples. So during the time when they got a little time to get away, Jesus took off. And he said, you know, he's walking. I can imagine him going up this mountain and saying, you know, this has been a long day. But we know who our Lord is, and we know that he knew what was going to happen. So then as Jesus went up to the mountain and saw that his disciples were following him, but in the background, there's more people following him to see if there's going to be any more miracles or just to hear the word. And so when Jesus went up to the mountain and sat down, and his disciples came, he says, boy, great things were happening. You know, we were able to heal the sick and do this. And Jesus picks up his eyes and says, yeah, but look at the ones that are coming. They're probably hungry. Okay, Philip, let's go get some bread. Let's go get some food for them. Philip says, hey, wait a minute. We only have 200 denarii to buy bread, but this won't even be able to give them a bite. But we're hungry, and we're hungry, and we got to feed these people too. How are we going to do that? And Jesus was, to me, he was playing around with Philip and saying, well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? The impossible has to happen. And so during that time when Philip was like, okay, you know, I'm trying to get all this together, but it's impossible to do this. So at that time, they found a little young boy that has had his lunch with him. Thank God for his mom making him lunch. And 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. If you read on there, it says 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish for his lunch. But I believe that when he when they located him and said, hey, you got something to eat, right? He says, can you share that with maybe the front row or something? You know, and I believe that they brought that little lad up to Jesus. And Jesus asked, wow, what do you got there? He goes, oh, just, you know, something my mom cooked up for me. And Jesus says, well, can I have that? And being the Lord and you know, this young boy is thinking, hey, I'm going to give it to him. And so when Jesus got it, he says, this is what we have. And the Bible says that he looked up into heaven, and with all his ability, being man but being God, and praying and blessing this food, when it took him to the fact that the disciples were saying, what is he doing? You know, that's all he's got. But they were backed against the wall, and they were in a position of, this is all we got. So, you know, the question that we always ask, all the time, I ask it when I run into a situation, Lord, what am I going to do? You know, this has to be done. Our trucks are broken. This needs to be done. People need to eat. So then I have to reverse that. And this is to me, the right answer. My wrong answer is saying, what am I going to do? What is Jesse going to do? Well, really, God has 1,000 ways that he can take us out of that. And so with just one great answer saying, Lord, what are you going to do with these fish? What are you going to do with this bread? And I tell you what he's going to do. He's getting us out of that situation where it's no longer I. And in these passages, when the disciples are, you know, like saying, send them away. Jesus, send them away. We can't feed them. We've all day long, we've been laboring, ministering to these people, healing these people. We're tired. We're hungry. We got to, you know, make this happen. You know, Jesus' response was, listen, gather everyone up in 50s and hundreds. 50s and hundreds. So that way there'll be a community, a feeling of, okay, things are in order. There's 50 people here, there's 100 people here, there's 50 people here, there's 100 people. Things are getting in order. The Lord is making things in order. And so what he does is he looks up to the heavens, looks up to his Father, and he says, Lord, bless this food. Knowing that this food would have to turn into thousands of dinners, thousands of pieces of loaves, thousands of fish, and knowing that it is not impossible because we serve a mighty God, we serve a mighty Lord, and he says, bless it. And then he broke it. He broke the bread, passing out the fish, giving it to each one. And the Bible says that he continuously broke the bread to pass out. And guess what? Afterwards, there is enough food left over. 12 baskets, they say. Now, we don't know how big the baskets were. I can imagine that they weren't little tiny baskets. They could have been these big old baskets. And guess who it was turned over to? Because everybody hadn't eaten. Probably the lad, the little boy who gave up his lunch and got enough food to probably feed his surrounding community, his neighbors and stuff. He said, where'd you get all that bread? Where'd you get that fish from? He says, well, you remember, Mom? You cooked me lunch to get out and see what's going on out there. And this Jesus guy, I gave it to him. I gave it to him, and he turned it into this. He was backed against the wall. The disciples were backed against the wall. And lo and behold, God made a way. You know, I can remember some wonderful things happening when I first started Valley View Community Food Bank. And I'm tying this in because I had a different message when I was asked, and I asked the Lord, what would be the best message for that day? There's someone out there in that church, in that audience, that need to hear this message, that no matter what they're going through physically, financially, mentally, that you have a way of us saying and not saying and asking the correct question. Lord, what are you going to do? My mortgage is due. My medical situation is not good. I'm not going to tell myself, what am I going to do? I'm going to you right now because you're the one that loves people. You're the one that loves me. You're the one that can say, hey, I can get rid of that for you. So I'm going to trust in you, oh God, that I'm asking you the right question. Lord, what are you going to do? When I started Valley View Community Food Bank back 15 years ago, I was in that position. I was still young. I hadn't retired yet, but I was laid off from a job that I knew that God had for me for the rest of my life. I worked at the Westside Food Bank for 22 years at that time. It was the most joyous time in my life as a professional a food banker. And finding myself in a situation where a merger happened, and the merger was saying, okay, anybody over 15, 20 years here, we're going to let you go. You're going to be laid off, but we're going to give you a severance package. And I remember years before that, before the merger, that I was working late at night one night. I had a group of 100 people come in to make food boxes, and it was 9:30 at night. I had told my assistants, go ahead and leave. I'm going to go put everything away so we could be situated in the morning. And I put stuff back on the shelves. And I remember to this day that I was driving the forklift, putting food away. And I said, Lord, I love this. I love this job. Thank you for this job. And he assured me, he says, well, you're going to be doing this the rest of your life. And I said, thank you. Oh, man, I was really happy and stuff. A couple years later, they say, Jesse, we're letting you go. You know, we're starting anew. And it was no longer Westside Food Bank, but it was the Alliance of the Arizona Food Banks. So I actually pleaded. You know, I could go back to driving a truck. I can do. They said, no, Jesse, you're in a big position. We can't do that to you. So I went to the Lord after that, and I said, Lord, what am I going to do? Well, you know, I bought a brand new house. I bought a brand new car. I got 8 kids, and I'm the only one working. What am I going to do? But just to let you know, I was okay financially because of the fact that my other job is playing music. So I'll get more gigs. But what am I going to do? You promised me that I was going to be doing this the rest of my life. I'll never forget, I was laid off on a Wednesday. I had to go do the due diligence that they told me to do, go to the Maricopa County DES office, fill out this information, go to unemployment, all this. It took 2 days. Saturday morning, I had a friend come over and say, Jesse, I heard you're out of work. I can give you a job. And with this job, it'll help you. I said, yeah, I'll think about it. And the city of Surprise was willing to hire me to go ahead and work at the city, so I wouldn't be without work. But that Saturday morning, I told the Lord, I says, I don't want to work for the city. I don't want to do this. And so as I was walking to my bedroom, my little daughter said, Dad, why are you crying? I said, I'm not crying, you know. But I went to the bedroom, I closed the door, got on my knees, and I said, Lord, you promised me that I would do food banking. And you know, it was almost like a tap on the shoulder. I said, you're not listening to me. You've been in training for 22 years. Go out and start a food bank. Man, I jumped from my knees, and I went to my wife, and I said, Rose, guess what we're going to do? And she's saying, what is going on here? We're going to start a food bank. And then I could see in her face like, oh, he's lost it. He's lost it. But when I was confronted by God, knowing that I was saying, what am I going to do, Lord? What am I going to do? Wrong question. He reminded me to say, what are you going to do, Lord? What are you going to do with this? And lo and behold, by March of that year, I got my 501c3. I started Valley View Community Food Bank. And miracle after miracle started happening because I said, Lord, what are you going to do? Just like the five loaves and the two fish, when that little boy gave up his lunch, when it touched Jesus' hands, nothing is impossible if you give the Lord. You know, I'm pretty sure that someone in here needs to hear this, because you've got to put your trust in Him. He loves you as much as He loves anyone else. When He did this miracle for me, that we were able to start Valley View Community Food Bank, and we were able to go in every day and start doing His work, I always asked Him, command my footsteps, Lord, wherever I should go to make this happen. And I'm going to tell you about one great miracle that I think we were in it 4 months. At the time, it was close to November, probably around October. I got a call from a news reporter from the Arizona Republic in the business section. And they said, oh, it came across your name. I saw that you started a food bank. Can you give me any news about that, what's going on? And I told them that, yeah, we started a food bank in Youngtown, and it's to serve that community there in Youngtown. And we're there to make sure that people can get extra food. Yes, there are other food banks that do a lot more than us, but, you know, maybe a couple loaves of bread, a couple fish, they can come and get food. And so that article went out, right? That was, I think, a Friday. It came out on the Sunday Gazette, the Arizona Republic. And on Monday, I had gone to go pick up food at the grocery stores. I go down there. I went out there early so that I can open up the doors to give out food. And I had fruits and vegetables, canned food. And normally we would see maybe 5 to 8 families a day, because we were very, very small. And what happened, we had way more than 8 families come in just in the morning. And I went to the front desk, and I asked our lady up there, I says, do any donations come in? Do we have any money? In the bank account, I think I had $20. And she said, Jesse, there nobody's brought in a donation. I said, okay, we might have to close our doors early. And I walked to the back, and a couple of my volunteers that followed me from Westside Food Bank came and said, Jesse, there's more people coming in, and there's nothing on the shelves. I said, Rita, I'm going to go ahead, and I'm just going to pray that God does something. And she goes, oh, you. And so I actually went to the back. I closed the door, and I was outside in the back. I said, okay, Lord, you brought me here. We got hungry people, reminding me of what Jesus did in the Bible. I said, I don't have the 5 loaves and 2 fish, but I'm doing what you wanted me to do. So Rita comes back and says, Jesse, there's a guy out there that wants to talk to you. His name's Nick or something. And I said, okay. I went out there, and he goes, are you Jesse? And I said, yes. Come out here. And then he walks to the door. Imagine a little 500 square foot office. Walks to the door and says, oh, do you have a dolly? I said, yeah, I have a dolly. And I went and grabbed a dolly. And I'm thinking about the situation where we got a couple people in there and they're trying to gather up all the food for them. I opened the door and immediately I said, oh my goodness. Well, Nick has a business in Scottsdale. And that morning, he had read the paper and said, Valley View Community Food Bank, this is what they do. And instantly he says, I got time this morning. I'm going to Costco. And he filled the back of his truck with so much food that he had to tie it down. So imagine me walking through those doors and complaining about the fact that, what am I going to do? And when I looked at that, it was like a bright and shiny light, you know, in my head. I went back and I went and got the girls and I said, you got to come see this. You got to come see this. And so they come out and Nick's looking at me like, what's going on here? And I said, Nick, we were actually just running out of food. And Rita, who was a skeptic, not a churchgoer, she says, you planned this, Jesse, you planned this? I said, I didn't plan this. She goes, oh my goodness. And she told Nick, yeah, I caught Jesse in the back praying that somebody would bring food. And he goes, well, here it is. So we got so much food in that Nick really loved that we were doing this. And for every month, the end of the month, he would come down and bring food for a whole year to us. Isn't that something? When you're backed against the wall, like I said earlier, medically, financially, lonely, being lonely. Remember, he says that he will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And he's got the answer. He's got the right answer when we have the wrong question. Being that Jesus is the lover of our soul, he created us. And when we ask that question, Lord, what are you going to do? He proved it in all four Gospels what he can do. He didn't do that just so they can fill their tummies and so that they can be relaxed so they can hear the word. He did it because he is a signs and wonder Lord. Even to this day, he works like that. When anybody asks me, you know, how'd you do this? You know, because I get to speak to a lot of people that are trying to start nonprofits, that are trying to do something else in their life. And I told them, you know, when you're backed against the wall, and it's going to happen, it's happened to me, but I had the right question. Lord, what are you going to do? When you find yourself in a situation, think about or go back and read the gospel. You can't miss it because it's in every gospel, how he turned things around. Just by asking his father, bless this so that there can be food and there can be wellness and there can be miracles and there could be healing in our lives. So that's my little sermon, and I just want to thank you. Did I go over? Okay. I just want to thank you for allowing me to share God's message. I want to thank you for hearing God's message. And try that. If you've ever, you know, felt like, hey, I can't do this, look to the Lord, and he'll make it happen. God bless you guys.
I got it.
Thank you.
Okay, we have our communion video, which is Break the Thou the Bread of Life. Bill? Gives me great pleasure to introduce your communion minister live from Kansas City North Oak Christian Church, Reverend Brett Winters. I hope. There. Hey, Brett.
Good morning, Sun City Christian Church. I have to tell you, I was just impressed and excited I am that we can be together at table. We are the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, and this is what we do well. We gather together in commonality. And so thousands of miles difference, it seems, but we get to be together. And my very first experience with you in worship is at table. What a meaningful opportunity this is for me. And for us, because we are a people of the table. Table is so important. We have this symbolic connection with Jesus our Christ at table. As Jesse has already shared with you, the importance and power of table in our daily lives. We eat at table. We feed and serve each other at table. And so I can't think of a better opportunity than to be at table with you. It's our first shared ministry together. This is our first table experience, but there will be many more. And I have to tell you the excitement I have for sitting at the table with you, doing those regular things, dining with you. I love to eat. And as we sit at table together, we share stories and experiences. And I look forward to being able to sit at table with you and hear stories of your baptism, stories of joy in your life, stories of heartbreak. At table together, we will make plans and preparations. We will prepare for funerals and baptisms and weddings and anniversaries. At table, we as the community of faith will come together to plan mission and purpose and direction as a community of faith. At table, we will knit and crochet and sew and quilt and craft. At table, we will play games. At table, we will do art. We will learn new skills and hobbies. At table, we will be the body of Christ. And so it is fitting today that the very first thing we do together is meet at table. At the table, we gather and dine with each and every Sunday. The table of our Christ, the table of Jesus Christ, who sat with his disciples and friends and said, "Do this in remembrance of me." We are a part of something greater than just ourselves. So it is an honor to be with you this morning at table and to remember the words of Jesus as he took bread. As he blessed them, as he broke them, as he offered them, saying, "Take and eat, for this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We take a cup, blessed, or shared. We remember as Jesus said, "Take and drink, for in this cup is a new cup for the forgiveness of sin." And each time we come to this table, no matter where we are a part of the body of Christ. We are a part of something. The table of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? O Holy Christ, at your table we dine. We come seeking your blessing upon this bread and this cup, and the importance of a table in our lives. You are always with us. It is at table that you come to life over and over and over again. You are present wherever two or three are gathered. So we come together in spirit, come together in symbol and practice, knowing that you, O Christ, feed us, you serve us, and you send us out in love. Bless these elements. Bless the good work and community of table we are doing together. Bless this day, bless our future going forward. For it is in you, O Christ, that we live, serve, and love.
Okay, if you will take your sanitary thing, and in there you find the small end, which has the bread, and if you will take that, and then open the other end, which is the juice. And then, please do put it back in the sanitary bag and dispose of it out in the narthex. Okay, Brent, you're on. Okay.
May we receive now this blessing. We will share the offering prayer that will also double as our benediction. How about we do that? You all are doing a great job of connecting us over time and space. Let us give thanks and pray. God, you are present, and we, your people, couldn't be more grateful for the blessings that you offer to the good of your church, your community, and world. May you receive them with gratitude with which we intend. And now, O God, may we receive this benediction and blessing from you, going forth in love, going forth sharing from our table to the ends of the earth. God, we are here to serve. Use us and our gifts. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.